Hello everyone, I'm Tabitha Rajab, your host. As we continue to celebrate 100 years of women in law in South Africa, we bring you another episode of the CDH Women Empowerment Podcast Series. Our guest today is Tendai Jangara, who is a director in our dispute resolution practice. She heads up our corporate and white-collar crime investigation service offering. Her career highlights include investigating and successfully resolving multi-million rand irregular expenditure transactions, providing advice on regulation, compliance and corporate governance matters, as well as developing and delivering fraud awareness strategies and training for clients. Based on her experience in the field of corporate and forensic investigations, Tendai advises in-house forensic teams on best practice. She also leads, advises on, and provides training for workplace investigations. Thank you for joining us, Tendai.
Thank you for having me, Tabitha.
Great. Sure. What an impressive CV. I look forward to, you know, delving more into the different areas of your expertise. So before we start with the legalese, could you tell us where you started? How you decided to become a lawyer?
Well, Tabitha, easy answer for me is that I come from a family of lawyers. My dad is a lawyer, so I was exposed to the legal profession very early. But I think the good thing for me and the positive was that my family members who are in the legal profession do different aspects of the law. And I discovered my passion, which is then forensics and corporate investigations, at the end of my LLB, when I studied specific offences as a course as part of the four-year LLB, and really got to know forensics and fraud risk management as an area that I could work in, specifically doing commercial and corporate investigations.
That's fascinating, Tendai. So, I mean, you've been surrounded by lawyers almost all your life. That's actually quite interesting. And can you tell us more then on, you know, what made you decide to go into corporate and white-collar crime investigations?
So when I finished my degree, I should maybe go back slightly and just say, you know, during my studies, I got to a point where I actually wasn't really enjoying the study of law. But as I said, really enjoyed the specific offences and looking at fraud. So when I finished my degree, I looked at what I could do with that as a career. And someone in a conversation started speaking about forensics and banking. And then having found out about, you know, the fact that you could work in a bank and work in forensics, started applying, and I applied to every bank I could find, had no experience, but really wanted to get into the area of forensics. I was very fortunate to get an opportunity with one of the banks in South Africa, went in as a forensic analyst based on my legal degree and, you know, just having that legal background, and started working in forensics. So I then got exposed to investigations, understanding the laws that go with corporate investigations. So really looking at commercial crime, which is crime which involves money, involves processes that would have to do with employment as well. And that's really how my career as I have it now started. So it was really in banking. And then I moved on from banking and went to an auditing firm and got further exposure to more organizations, was really working in the consulting space, and really honed my investigation skills, my fraud risk advisory skills as well. And just really got to leadership within this area, having been exposed to those functions.
No, that's great. And would you say that the landscape in the sector has changed at all in South Africa in the last, like in the last 10 years, for instance?
So Tabitha, you know, when I tell people that I work in forensics or in corporate investigations, you know, the sentiment is always that, oh, you know, very fascinating area, but it must be very difficult. And it is difficult because, you know, it's an acrimonious process. You, if you're going to go in and investigate persons, go into entities, it's because something has gone wrong, or the suspicion that something has gone wrong. So in the early days of my career, I found that there were fewer women than there are now. There were definitely pioneering women. So women who I looked up to, who were were working in different entities, but it was definitely male dominated. And a lot of the people who I was exposed to at the time had come, you know, through the police, some had come through the accounting side of it, but definitely male dominated. I've been in the industry for over 10 years and I've definitely seen a shift. I've seen a lot more women coming into it. Over the years, people have contacted me, young women who are finishing their accounting degrees and law degrees with an interest in the field and wanting to find out how to get into it. So in my first job, when I worked in banking, I was the only woman on my team. And I'm very happy to say, as I've progressed in my career, you know, I've worked on teams where we've had more women than men at certain points. So the industry has definitely opened up. I think as well as it being a multidisciplinary area, it's really accommodating to women now. Still a difficult area to be in, I must say, but definitely accommodating.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, it's great to see that women are also getting a seat at the table and are being recognized for their skills and what they can actually bring to the table. So in terms of that, what specific actions or behaviors, if any, have you seen from men that have particularly been effective in, you know, advancing women's careers in the legal industry in particular, and also in your area of expertise?
You know, I think the industry was shut to women, and that's why we're at a point of celebrating 100 years. And 100 years is not a long time. You know, I'm 15 years into my career. So when I think of 100 years, you know, it's not a long time that women have been in the legal profession, and women had to fight for it. But in the fight, there definitely are allies, male partners who really have fought as well for the advancement of women. So I think for us to find that we have women in the legal profession, in the numbers that we have, them coming through even as graduates. I was speaking to my former dean and was seeing a shift of more women actually in the law faculty and graduating and going into a lot more areas, including forensics. So there definitely is a shift, Tabita. And again, when I look at, you know, my career and looking specifically at forensics now, my first manager was very empowering of me. I went in without experience and he really gave me the scope that I needed to develop myself as a forensic professional. He supported my studies that I wanted to do when I wanted to become a certified fraud examiner. He really enabled me to do that. And just even in my studies as well, having done a master's specifically in forensics, which would be the accounting sciences, fraud risk management, you know, my lecturers were male in that. And again, really pushed me, encouraged me, was supportive. I was pregnant for part of the time that I did my studies. And when I needed to come back, my lecturer made sure that I had everything I needed, did the application for me with the university to ensure that I got back. So I've really seen males and men around me as allies and really empowering and really pushing women forward. I think at this point, more than needing men to open the door, it's just men getting out of the way sometimes and saying, okay, you know, I appreciate that I have a woman who is a colleague and is as capable as I am at doing the job, and allowing women to then take on the legal professions, the specializations in areas like forensics.
Speaking of that, what would you say to a woman who's thinking of changing careers because, you know, they feel that the legal industry is so male dominated, and some probably don't even see a way through because they're probably not exposed to the same privileges as others may be?
Yes. And you know, Tabita, I think we have to be honest. It is difficult. It's difficult. You know, the law profession is difficult for all people. And when you then bring in the aspects of, you know, being a woman and the different phases that we go through in our lives, it is difficult. So what I would say is, first of all, as a woman, make sure that you've done the work that's required to make you an excellent professional. We don't want to be found as women lacking in our professionality. We don't want to be found lacking in the quality of our work. So first of all, make sure that if you want to be in the profession, you want to stay in the profession, you're actually performing at the standard that's required. And then let your voice be heard. So as a woman, if you need to structure your life in a way which allows you to be a professional and at the same time accommodate other areas of your life, and those areas may be that you want to study further, you want to have a family and make sure that you're available for your family, make it clear that these are priorities in your life. When you apply for jobs, actually engage and find out how supportive the organization is of you as a person and everything that goes with being a person. And I think we also have to speak up for each other when we see that our environments are not accommodating of any women. And, you know, our challenges are different. Not all women face the same challenges, but challenges are valid. So we need to validate each other, and then we need to be supportive. And it's not women who need to fight for other women, it's people. So men and women need to make sure that they're creating a level playing field for women who want to advance, but at the same time are also aware of special support systems that are required. So women need to speak up, but when we hear women speak up, we need to give them the support that's required.
Absolutely, I so agree with that. So my next question is more on your the work that you do. Are there any memorable matters that you've dealt with that you can share with us? Is there one that stood out for you in your career so far?
So, yes, Tabisa, you know, the matters we deal with are confidential. And, you know, I think very often when we talk about forensics, we obviously think about the matter that we will investigate. So, you know, if there's been a fraud matter, for example, and I'll go into the matter that I'm thinking of. But what stood out for me specifically with this matter was it was a high value matter. And at the heart of it was the CEO of an organization. You know, we talk about ethics in South Africa, and on the flip side, we talk about corruption and we talk about those issues that are a scourge on our society. And, you know, we expect our leaders, when we have leaders at a high level, CEOs, to understand, first of all, how they need to operate in the best interests of their organizations, but how they also need to protect their people. And what stood out for me was just a CEO who was willing to destroy people around him to try and cover up, the matters that he had been involved in. And unfortunately, he was a highly influential person and, had the power to really make life difficult for those who had opposed his actions. And that really exposed me as well to the area of whistleblowing and how a whistleblower's life was affected by a person of influence. So yes, we were looking at the financial side of it, but we had to look at the impact on people as well, and how we as forensic practitioners must also look at the interests of our whistleblowers, make sure that in our investigations, we are protecting those who come forward with information. So that really stood out for me, Tabita.
Great. Thanks for sharing that with us, Tindai. So what would you say to another woman who is thinking of changing fields because the industry is so male dominated, and particularly in your area of expertise, which is forensics?
Yes, absolutely. So when we look at white collar crime, we look at people, process, and opportunity that happens. So when we talk people, organizations have to be very honest about the ethical standards that they will hold. What we find very often is that businesses are willing to bend the rules when it's in the interest of the business, but then are shocked when their employees act in a manner that's contrary and, for example, commit fraud. So it needs to be a clear standard that organizations communicate to their employees at every level, and they need to demonstrate that they are ethical in everything that they do. When it comes to processes, what I would say to organizations is make sure you have checks and balances in place. Make sure you have internal controls. Very often, again, employees are trusted. We have highly intelligent people, very skilled. And as a result, in their areas of influence, they very often can have controls and powers where people can then not check what they're doing. No matter how much you trust your employees, you must have checks and balances in place. Make sure you have processes to constantly audit what you're doing. And where there's suspicion of any kind of malfeasance, internally or with service providers, you must call in independent investigators, or you must have an internal function that can immediately investigate. Do not let anything become bigger than it needs to. Deal with suspicions very quickly. And I think as a final piece of advice, Tabita, is for all organizations to have mechanisms for their employees to blow the whistle and to blow the whistle without fear of reprisals. Very often, employees are aware of what their colleagues are doing, but if they fear the consequences of blowing the whistle or making information available, they will not do it just to safeguard their own jobs and lives. But organizations need that information. So make sure that hotlines are in place, you have an independent service provider that people can go to, and have ethics officers who can support people within organizations should they blow the whistle. So I think those things, Tabitha, would really assist organizations. And when we come in, when we find those functions in place, very often it really makes our job easier in terms of what we need to investigate, and it lessens the risk that organizations face in terms of the loss that they can suffer if any kind of white collar crime does occur.
Yeah, that's really sound advice there. I think in most instances, people are afraid to be the whistleblower because they probably, in most cases, they don't trust their employer. But yeah, I think that is sound advice. Thanks so much, Tindai. So now going on to a lighter note, could you tell us if you have any unusual hobbies or usual hobbies?
I've found that to keep myself balanced, just with the nature of the work, I need a lot of time just in silence. So I love sitting in the garden. I don't know if I can call it meditating. I'm not sure I can still my mind that well. But I love sitting in the garden and just really taking time to listen to nature and, you know, what's happening, just, you know, the sounds of nature, just to keep me, you know, balanced. Unusual hobby, I love dogs. So when I go around, I'm obsessed with all the dogs that I find. I try and identify what breed it is, what mix it is, where I can see that it's a mix. I'm hoping to turn that into some sort of specialization that I can use as a, maybe as a party trick somewhere. Yeah, so that's really it. Yeah. And oh, one last thing. I'm learning to skate. My kids are teaching me how to skate, and I think I will make it as a professional one day. So those are my hobbies. Yeah.
You've got your hands full there.
Yeah, I do.
And are there any books that you're reading at the moment, or what are you watching? What are you currently streaming?
So I've actually just finished a brilliant book called A Woman of Intelligence by Karen Tanabe. Absolutely loved it. And it really talks about the frustrations of women who couldn't work after they became pregnant. And I'm so happy that we're not at that stage in our lives, but absolutely enjoy that. And I'm reading, I think it's called The Plot to Save South Africa by Justice Malala at the moment. The history of our country is very deep, and I think it's something we need to revisit often. I was just, you know, reading the chapter where he talks about the assassination of Chris Hani and, you know, what that could have done to our country had there not been, you know, people who really stood and said, we're going to make our democracy work. So that's what I'm going through at the moment. And absolutely love rereading the history of our country.
Oh, wow. That's quite interesting. And are you watching anything?
So I'm not great at watching stuff. You know, I find myself sitting in front of the TV, so there's always something playing, and then I'll end up reading because I'm a reader. I'll end up reading on my phone while I should be watching. But I'm not sure if it's a series or a movie that I started watching yesterday with Emma Thompson, who's absolutely brilliant as I think she's a show host of some sort, and someone who's work is not going too well, and interestingly is not empowering of women, doesn't like working with women. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it progresses and how she changes her view on actually working well with other women.
Tindai, thank you so much. It's been great chatting to you and learning more about you and your areas of expertise. It was wonderful having you on our platform and hope to chat to you soon.
Thank you very much, Tabitha. I absolutely enjoyed it. And I look forward to really speaking and hearing more about the women we have at CDH.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.